Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We will begin today's shiur 10 lines from the top of Daf Hey in Yuma. At the beginning of the line, you'll notice a triangle, and you'll also notice that it's numbered number 2, showing that we're in the middle of a discussion that we started at the end of our previous shiur. We had seen two opinions regarding the different activities that were performed during the Miluim, the week of activities in anticipation of the consecration of the Mishkan. And there were two opinions regarding what activities are actually binding. So one approach said anything that is recorded in the Torah as needing to be done during the Miluim, those activities are binding. Another opinion said, only those things that are binding in future generations are binding for during the Miluim. The Gemara had asked, well, what's the difference? And in answer to that, the Gemara provides four approaches, the first of which we've already seen, and the issue there had been smicha, the placing of one's hands on a sacrifice before its slaughter. Now we continue. Number 2, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar, Tnufa Iko Binayu. The issue of waving is a point of difference between the two opinions. Waving, that has to do with holding different parts of a sacrifice and moving them back and forth, up and down. That's called waving or Tnufa. L'madom ar kol kosuv bohen makev. Bohen, according to the opinion that we saw at Ondaf Dalid, that anything that's recorded in the Torah regarding the Miluim is binding. So Ma'akva, so waving is necessary, and without which you haven't fulfilled the requirements. Ulamando medover she'ein ma'akev ledoros ein ma'akev bohen lo ma'akva. And according to the opinion that says something that is not binding down through the generations is also not binding with regard to the Miluim, so the issue of Tenufa, the practice of Tenufa, is not me'akev, is not binding. Uledoros menolon delo ma'akva, and as we saw in our previous shiur, the Botai highlights the word uledoros. Where is it that we see a source that is, that for future generations it is not binding? So, Tesanyo, we have the following Tanaic source. It says in the Pasuk, L'tenufa l'chaper. Through waving, you get your atonement in the offering of that particular sacrifice. V'chi tenufa mechaperes. Is that really so, that the waving is the source of atonement? V'alo ein kapora elo b'dam. A sacrifice provides atonement provided you do the blood application, not the waving. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, ki hadam hu benefesh yichaper, that through the blood one achieves atonement, the animal's blood being sprinkled on the altar. Uma tamud lomar letunufa lechaper. So if it's so, then in fact only through the sprinkling of the blood does one gain atonement provided by the sacrifice. So what are we to make of this phrase, letunufa lechaper? So the Brisa answers, Shimasol l'tenufa shiori mitzvah. If you treat the tenufa offhandedly as something that's expendable and don't do it, so malo v'kosuv kilulo kiper, the posuk, the Torah, considers you as if you didn't achieve atonement, however v'kiper, but bottom line is you do achieve atonement, but it's, as Rashi said in our last shiur, 3 lines from the top, Rashi mentioned under Dibor Masel V'Kiper that the person gets kapora, but he hasn't done the mitzvah in the choicest way. Rav Popa Omar, A third approach, Prishas Shiva Iko Binayu. Lamanda Markola Kosuban Makiv Bohen Makva. The need to be separated from one's house for 7 days is the point of difference. According to the opinion that says that which is written in the Torah, so it is binding, so Prishas Shiva is Ma'akev. According to the opinion that says that which is not binding for generations is not binding with regard to the miluim as well, so it's not ma'akev, it's not binding, lo ma'akva, uledoros minolan delo ma'akva, and as far as future generations, the need for separation is something that's not binding. Where do we know that from? Midikotoni, from the fact that our Mishnah, when referring to the replacement Kohen Gadol for the Yom Kippur service, we had someone waiting in the wings if anything should happen to the primary Kohen Gadol, so this replacement fellow would move in. Well, the Mishnah says on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Maskinim, says he's designated. Velo Kotoni Mafrishina, doesn't say that he is separated. So even though the primary Kohen Gadol is separated, this replacement fellow isn't separated from his house, from his wife. What would be if he is actually needed? So he moves in to take over the Kohen Gadol's role without having gone through the Mafrishin, without having gone through Prishag, being separated, showing us that that is not something that is binding with regard to future generations. Ravina Omar. A fourth approach, Ribui Shiva Umeshicha Shiva Ika Binayu. The need for Ribui Shiva's wearing the 8 clothing of the Kohen Gadol, as opposed to a common Kohen has 4 clothing, the Kohen Gadol has 8 clothing. So is that necessary that for the seven days prior to his service, once he is appointed as Kohen Gadol, or in the case of the Miluim, during that week leading up to Aleph Nisan, where the Beis HaMikdash was, where the Mishkan was consecrated, is it necessary for him to wear the Kohen Gadol vestments every day? And Meshicha is an oil anointment. So that is ikobinayo. That's a point of difference. Lamando mar kolakosu bohen ma'ake bohen ma'akfa. According to that opinion, that which is written is binding. So this is binding. Lamando mar dover shein ma'ake v'doros ein ma'ake bohen. However, according to the opinion that says that only that which is binding for future generations, so is binding during the miluim, so lo ma'akfa, the ribui shiva m'shicha shiva, is not binding. Uledoros minolon de lo ma'akfa, regarding future generations, where do we see that when a Kohen Gadol is appointed to his position, where he's chosen to be the Kohen Gadol, he does not have to do this, or if he doesn't, if he doesn't do it, he'll become a Kohen Gadol anyway. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source, and this Tanaic source is opens up with a pasuk featuring Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, of course, is the representation of Lidoros, that which is practiced down through the generations. It says, V'chiper ha-kohen ashim shachoso v'ashir yamale es yodoi l'chayin tachas oviv. That pasuk is a reference to the new Kohen Gadol is chosen to replace his father, the previous Kohen Gadol. Ma Talmud Lomar. What is this pasuk teaching me? And Rashi says that if it's coming to teach me that the avoda shall be done with the Kohen Gadol, well, that we know already because the Torah had mentioned Aaron doing the avodas Yom Kippurim, and Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. So what do I need this pasuk for? Lefi Shenemar, it says in Parshas Tetzaveh, in Shmos, Perek Choftes, Shivas Yomim Yilbosham Akein Tachtov Mibodav. For 7 days, a Kohen Gadol who is appearing as a replacement for his father, so he wears the clothing for a period of 7 days. Ein li elo nisrabe shiva v'nimshach shiva. I would think that he becomes kosher, becomes acceptable as a as the replacement Kohen Gadol, if he wears the eight vestments, the eight articles of clothing that are characteristic of the Kohen Gadol, for a period of 7 days, and Nimshach Shiva means, and he's anointed with oil for 7 days. Nisrabe Shiva v'Nimshach Yom Echad. Let's take some variations now. He's wears the clothing for 7 days and is anointed only one day, or Nisrabe Yom Echad v'Nimshach Shiva, or he wears the eight clothing only one day and is anointed over 7 days. How do we know that that's also kosher, also acceptable? Talmud Lomar, Asher Yimshach Oisoi, Vasher Yimale Es Yodoi, Mikomokom. As long as any amount of anointing was done, if any amount of the clothing, extra clothing wearing, if eight clothing wearing was performed, he will still be kosher as a Kohen Gadol to perform the Yom Kippur service. The Gemara continues, Ashkechon Riboy Shiva Lechatchila. We saw the need for, as a first choice, wearing the eight high priestly vestments over 7 days as a first choice in the Pasuk Shivas Yomim Yilbasham that we saw just four or five lines above. Meshicha Shiva Lechatchila Menolam. Where do you see the need for anointing for a period of 7 days as a first choice? So Iboy Esema, one answer is, from the fact that I needed a pasuk to minimize or exclude the anointing as a binding factor, so I understand, true, it's not binding, but as a first choice it is something that's necessary. V'boy Sema, another approach, the Omar Kral, there's a pasuk that says, Uvigdei HaKodesh Asher La'aron, Yu Levonav Achrov, L'moshcho bohem u'lamalei bom es yodom. The expression l'malei bom es yodom is a reference to the wearing of the clothing. In the same pasuk you see l'moshcho, which means anointing. So iskesh meshicha l'riboy. The two processes are compared to one another. Ma riboy shiva, af meshicha shiva. Just like the riboy, the wearing of the extra four clothing, total of eight clothing, is over 7 days, so to Meshicha is over 7 days. My taimo demadomar kol hakosubon ma'akev. What is the basis of holding that opinion that anything that's written is going to be binding? And that will include, now we know, if we just scan the Omud of Gemara, you just look for the double underlines, that it will include smicha, tenufa, prishas shiva, Ribui Shiva, Meshicha Shiva. So where does that particular opinion say, where does he know that from, that as long as it's written, it's binding? Amar Rav Yisrael Bar Bisna, Amar Kro, V'yosiso La'aron Ulevonov Kocha. So the Pasuk says, in the context of the commandment for the Miluim, that they shall do thusly. Kocha equals Ikuva. The word Kocha expresses the idea of it being me'akef, being binding. So it's written, and it says that it shall be done to Aaron and his sons thusly. So it's binding. Tainach, well, that explains kol, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, kol milsa v'ksiva v'hai inyona. The word kocha will say that things that are written in that particular topic in the parsha featuring the commandment to observe the miluim, to perform the miluim, the 7 day lead up period to the consecration of the Mishkan. What about things that are not written in that section of the Torah, but are nevertheless part of the miluim, and how will I know that those two will be binding? The diamond that you could see running down this omen is featured on the side under our Mivneh heading, Od Mitzvos HaNohag, Nehugos BeMiluim, the other mitzvahs that are practiced Miluim, U Mekorosehem, and their sources. So, Milsa, the Lok Siva, Baha'i Inyonim and Olam, things that are not written in Parshas Tetzaveh, in the inyan of the commandment to do the miluim, and Rashi gives as an example the inserting of the stones of the Kohen Gadol breastplate into their respective pockets, if you will. From where do we know that that is going to be binding? Now, it's pointed out that the need for inserting the stones into their respective pockets is stated in what's called Parshas Asiyah, the doing of the Milum, not the command to do it, but the actual execution of it, which is found in Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Tzav, not to be confused with Parshas Titzaveh in Shmois, Sefer Shmois. So how do I know that something like the insertion of the Urim V'Tumim into the Choshen, into the Kohen's breastplate, that is something also that would be binding? So in answer to this question, you'll notice we have a house marking, and on the side we note Gimel Deos B'mal HaMokor Shenesinas Urim V'Tumim El HaChoshen Me'akev B'miluim Shel HaKoyen Godol Afalpi the Lokosuv B'Tzavo Shel HaMiluim B'Pashas V'Ata T'Tzaveh. So let's see. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhok Yolif Pesach Pesach. Rav Nachman comes to this conclusion by learning the, we'll say, a word comparison that joins the two parshios together. The word Pesach appears in Ata Tetzaveh, and in Ata Tetzaveh we saw that things are binding. We saw already Kocha, and this parsha of the actual carrying out of the Miluim, that we also see Pesach. Rav Mishashi says, without a word comparison, you learn it from that which it says in Parshas Tzav, Vayikra Perek Ches, it says, Ushmartem es Mishmeres Hashem. That expression shows us that Ikuva, that what they did was binding. So we know that they put the stones of the Kohen Kodal breastplate into the breastplate. So it shows us that it is binding. Rav Ashi says that you see this from another posuk, Kichein Tsuvesi. That posuk equals Ikuva. It shows that it is binding. You'll notice a bracketed section, and the reason for these brackets is explained by Rashi, that this Tanaic source is not dealing with Miluim whatsoever. But since we cited a posuk that reads Kichein Tsuvesi with its relevance to our discussion, we're going to have three more psukim where Tzivui appears, and what do we derive from those psukim. The three psukim that are cited appear in the context of the day on which the sons of Aaron died, which was Aleph Nisan. And on that particular day, there were a number of sacrifices that were offered. Several of the sacrifices, there was a meal offering and a couple animal offerings. Some of them were special one-time event sacrifices. And one of the sacrifices was, in fact, a Rosh Chodesh, a sin offering, a Soyer Rosh Chodesh. And that is something that would be practiced every Rosh Chodesh for future generations. So you have, in that particular parsha, you have one-time sacrifices and the Soyer Rosh Chodesh, which was a perpetual sacrifice. An onain, someone who lost a very close relative, is forbidden to eat korbanos. And a kohen who's an onain, other than a kohen gadol, and kohen hedyot's an onain, is forbidden to process korbanos. However, with regard to the special one-time history sacrifices that were part of the day of consecration day, Aleph Nisan, in the Midbar, when they established the Mishkan, those, because of their special nature and special ruling from on high, from heaven, they were to be eaten, even though they were oynanim. Aaron ubonav were oynanim. Not so with the case of the Soyer Rosh Chodesh. That was to be burnt. Moshe Rabbeinu, upon chancing upon the Rosh Chodesh Korban burning, he mistakenly thought that at that moment, that is, he mistakenly thought at that moment that it should not have been burnt. It should be eaten like the other sacrifices. Therein thereupon set in a discussion between Aaron and Moshe. And this Tanaic source reflects that discussion in a very terse fashion. Rashi elaborates quite a bit, but we are going to go through the text in a brief fashion. If you want to see more about it, look through the Rashi. The question simply that we're dealing with now is, what does each one of these psukim, the tzivui psukim, teach us? Tana Rabbanan, ki chein tzuvesi. In Vayikra Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Gimel, you see another Pasuk Kasher Tzivesi, and a third Pasuk Kasher Tzivo Hashem. What does each one teach me? Kichein Tzivesi Be'aninus Yochlua. Moshe says to Aaron, I was taught thusly that they are to be eaten in a state of aninus, that state of mourning regarding the day that a person's relative died. And even though, in general, people and a Kohen are not allowed to eat sacrifices in that state, nevertheless, regarding the first day of the Mishkan's service, the special korbanos that were offered in that honor were to be eaten. And Moshe Rabbeinu emphasizes that thusly I was commanded. The Pasuk says, Kasher Tzuvesi, Bishas Maise Omar Lahem. That means when at the moment that Moshe saw they were burning the soyer shel Rosh Chodesh, he reacted. What are you doing over here? I was commanded, and he said so mistakenly, that you're supposed to eat that. And Aaron responded and said that is the idea of needing to eat is true, but not with regard to what we call kotshei doros, a sacrifices of a perpetual nature. Kasher tzivo Hashem, the lo me elai ani omer. And Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that I was commanded by the Almighty that these shall be eaten, and I'm not saying it on my own. We continue now with the Gemara. Omar Rav Yossi bar Chanina. Again, we return to our series of diamonds, other mitzvos that were practiced during the miluim. Michnasayim, the wearing of the pants, of the Kohen clothing, pants, ain ksuvin the parsha. They're not written, it's not written in the parsha of miluim, not in the command to do miluim, nor in the execution of the miluim, the carrying out of the miluim. Keshu omer veze adovar asher taaselahem lekadesh oisom lechahein. This word veze is in Shmos Perikoftes. It is at the beginning of the parsha of miluim. And right before it was the parsha of the making of the clothing of the Kohanim. So you have the very beginning of Parshas Miluim, the ceremonies and practices and rituals that were to be done during that week of Miluim, the lead-up week to the consecration of the Mishkan. So at the very beginning of that parsha, it uses the word vizeh with a vav appears. And as we said, right before that was the section of the Torah dealing with the design and the sewing and the preparation and the making of the priestly clothing. So the vav connects parshas miluim to the clothing. Lahavi hamichnasayim veasiris ha'efa. Asiris ha'efa is a reference to a meal offering that is brought by a kohen when he's installed, when he starts his service in the Beis HaMikdash. And with regard to a kohen gadol, it's a meal offering that he brings every day. Bishlama michnasayim ksivi binyana debegadim. I can see the need to wear the pants, because pants are referenced in to the parsha just before in the making of the clothing, and you have the vav that connects that with the parsha of miluim. So I understand that during the week of miluim, the kohanim have to wear they have to put on the michnasayim of the kohanim, the special kohen michnasayim. But as far as the need to offer this meal offering during the week of Miluim, where do you know that from? Asyo ze ze. Through a word comparison, we just had the word vizeh hadovar asher tasalem. The word ze appears, mi vizeh korban aharon ubonov asher yakrivu lashem asiris ha'efa. So in that pasuk 2, you see the word ze, vizeh. And that pasuk is referring to the asir so'efa, this meal offering. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi Minayin Sha'af Mikra Parsha Ma'akev. From where do we know that the reading of the parsha? And Rashi points out that during the miluim they were commanded to read the parsha Vi'ato Tetzaveh, the parsha in the Torah that in which you find the commandment to practice the miluim. So from where do we know that the reading of that is also binding? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe l'Eda, ze hadavor asher tzivo Hashem." The word davor is taken to mean dibur. Afilu dibur ma'akev, even that which is oral is oral in the sense of the reading, the verbal reading of the parsha. Ketzad Hilbishan. Now we have a new marking, a series of triangles, and on the side, the under the Mivneh, Nosei Mivneh heading, you see we've written Seder Levishas Begodim Shel Aaron Ubonov. We'll be dealing with the order of their putting on their big day kahuna. Moshe Rabbeinu was charged with dressing them. The triangle, it represents Gimel Shlovim Levarer Mahi Kavonas Hashelo Ketzad Elbishan. One's going to ask, how did he dress them? What is the point of asking this question? So we now go to the Gemara, and there are three stages. Ketzad Hilbishan. So the Gemara asks, Ketzad Hilbishan, how did he clothe the father and the sons, Aaron and his sons? However, whatever was. It's something that doesn't seem to have any ramification. It's just something that took place once upon a time. For what benefit is in there for us to know about that? Elo Ketzad Mal Bishan. The question really is, how will the Kohanim be clothed in the time to come, in the future? The Gemara says, is that really a question that has to preoccupy us? L'asid lavo nami, in the future, l'chshivo Aaron uvonav u'Moshe Rabbeinu imohem, when Aaron and his sons and Moshe reappear during Tchias HaMesim, so Moshe Rabbeinu will tell us what needs to be done. Elo, so what is the question for us to ask? How did Moshe Rabbeinu clothe his brother Aaron and Aaron's sons in order for us to make sense and explain the psukim. There appears to be a contradiction in the psukim, in the, then we're talking about two parshios right now. You have a parsha of Miluim, in which they were commanded to do, in parshas Shmos, in Sefer Shmos, and parshas Ve'ata Tetzaveh, and in the actual execution, carrying out of the Miluim, in Sefer Vayikra, you find something else. And in the Rashi, we've highlighted with double underlines the seeming differences. In the Tzavo, in the command to do the Miluim, the Pasuk says, and I'm looking in Rashi where the double underlines appear, toward the lower part of the page, the Chagarta Oisom Avnei Aaron Uvonov. Rashi says, Mashma, where we've dashed underlined, Mashma Chagirosim Shalav Bonim Beseder Echod, that Aaron's Avnate, as we can loosely translate it as a type of belt or a girdle, was placed on him together with his sons, with no other articles of clothing being dressed between them. Ubasioksiv, however, in the actual execution of the Miluim, it says Ba'aron, Vayachgor Oisoi Ba'avne, Beseder Levishas Begonim, that Moshe Rabbeinu put the Avnate on Aaron, Vilbisho Kol Hamavushim, and that is in addition to all the other clothing that Aaron was dressed in. V'achakach Hikriv Bono Vilbisham, and after Aaron was finished putting on all his clothing, then his sons were brought in, and it was the Avnate was placed on them. V'lo Chogar Aaron Uvonov V'asachas, and they were not girded with the Avnate at one time. So you have, on the one hand, Parshas Tetzaveh, Aaron Ubonov together, and in Parshas Tzav, where the Miluim were actually done, you see Aaron is dressed separately. The Gemara continues. Pligi bo Rabbi Chiyo v'Rabbi Yochanan. Chanomar Aaron v'achak Ubonov. One opinion is that first Aaron was clothed with all the clothing, including the Avnate, and then Bonov, and then his sons. V'chanomar, Aaron u'Bonov bevasachas. The other opinion says Aaron and his sons at one time. Later the Gemara will ask, how in the world can one man, Moshe Rabbeinu, clothe five people at one time? But nevertheless, it says here, together. Omar Abaye, b'ksoynes u'mitznefes kulei amal opligi da'aron v'achak bonov. With regard to the other clothing, and if you're looking at a Kohen Hedyot, for example, he has four clothing. So regarding the ksoynes mitznefes and the michnasayim, we might as well add, everyone agrees that da'aron v'achak bonov. First, Aaron was clothed with those three articles, and then his sons. So as far as the ksoinus and the mitznefes, ksoinus is a type of shirt, and mitznefes is a type of hat, and the michnasayim, those were placed on Aaron. All of those were placed on Aaron, and let's just say Aaron's clothing were placed, he was dressed in them first, and then Moshe turned to his sons for dressing them with their these three articles of clothing, the michlasayim, ksoinus, and mitznefes. So everyone agrees that that was the order of things. Debein b'tzavo, ubein b'asiya, Aaron kodim. Regardless of which parsha you look at, the parsha of tzavo, which is ato tzave, the parsha of asiya, of the actual execution of things, which is recorded in Parshas Tzav in Sefer Vayikra, Aaron was clothed with all of his clothing, except for leaving the Avnate out of the picture for a moment. The rest of his clothing were placed on him, and then he, Moshe Rabbeinu, started dressing his sons. Ki pligi b'avnei. The machlokas comes up concerning the avnei. When was the avnei placed on them? Man de Omar, Aaron v'achav bonov. The opinion that says that Aaron was girded with his avnei first, namely, that in addition to all the rest of his clothing that he was dressed in, the avnei was also put on Aaron before Moshe Rabbeinu dealt with Aaron's sons. Dichtiv vayachgar oisoi ba'avnei. The pasuk says, and he, Aaron, was girded in the avnei. V'hodaksiv vayachgar oisom avnei. And then later it says, and he, Moshe Rabbeinu, then girded them in the avnei. So we see this separation. Umandam Aaron uvonav v'asachas. The opinion that says that Aaron was clothed with everything except for the avnei. Then the sons were clothed with their clothing except their avnei. And now all that's left to deal with is everyone's avnei. So Aaron and Bonov were done together. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, v'chagarta oisom avneit Aaron and Bonov. The pasuk puts them together regarding the avnei. At this point then, we have two opinions. Each opinion cited their own source. Ulaman di Omar, and now we go back and forth with what does each one do with the other one's source. Ulaman di Omar Aaron uvonav v'basachas, according to that opinion that the avnei was placed on Aaron uvonav in without any other clothing dressing separating them. So hoksiv, does it not say vayachgar oisoy b'avnei vodaksiv vayachgar oisom avnei? The psukim that indicate a separation, Aaron done by himself and only later on the sons, his sons. We continue at the top of Vav Amud Aleph. Omar Loch, Ahu, he will tell you that the psukim that separate is Ahu, that is coming to tell me Avneto Shel Kayin Godo Loi Zehu Avneto Shel Kayin Hedyo. The psukim are there to show that the material used in making the avnate of the Kohen Gadol, which was a mixture of wool and linen, is not the same material, it's not the same way that the avnate of the common Kohen was made, which was of pure linen, which is called boots, pure linen. So the isolation or this distinction between Kohen Gadol versus the other Kohanim is not regarding order of dressing, but rather regarding material constituting the avnate. According to the opinion that in terms of the dressing, the girding, Aaron was completely dressed by Moshe, including the avnate, before even dealing with his sons. Well, v'hok siv, does it not say v'chagarta oisom avnate Aaron uvonav? Does the pasuk not join them together, that at the same moment that it was placed on Aaron, the avnet was placed on his sons as well? Omar Loch. So this opinion, this mandomer that says Aaron v'Ahubonov will tell you, Ahu komash malon, the purpose of linking them together is to tell me avneto shel kayin godol, zehu avneto shel kayin hedyo. In fact, a dissenting opinion to that which we saw before, stating that the avnet of the kayin godol was made of the same material as the Kohen Hedyos, or but more accurately placed, the avnate of the Kohen Gadol, which we know was made of kilayim, of wool and linen mixed, so too the avnate of the Kohen Hedyot was of kilayim, or called shatnez, wool and linen mixed. Vayachgar oisoy b'avnate, vayachgar oisom lomali. Well, what about the pasuk that seems to separate them? Shma mino. So that shows me, like we said before, Aaron v'acharkach bonov. First, Aaron was dressed with all his clothing, including the avnate, and only then Moshe Rabbeinu turned to Aaron's sons to dress them. The Gemara asks, uvabas achas mimishkachas lo? There was an opinion here that says that Moshe, after putting on most of Aaron's clothing, except for the avnate, and then dressing the sons, and now it's time for dealing with their avnates, Moshe Rabbeinu put the avnates on all at one time. Is that possible? And basachas means at one time, is it possible for one man to put on five people's avnets? The Gemara says, no, that is really impossible. But rather, lo tzricha, the posuk that says that he girded them together with the avnet is da'aktim. That means that Aaron in fact was girded first, and then his sons, but there were no other clothing separating or interrupting. That's what we meant by basachas. Before we conclude, we just would like to glance at the Rashi. Lo tzricho da'aktim, lo bevasachas mamish koma, elo zeh achar zeh, avol beseder echon hoyu. The idea of basachas doesn't mean literally simultaneously. Five people were dressed by one man. Rather, it was one after the other. All that we need to say is that no other articles of clothing were put on between Aaron's avnet and his son's avnetim. That's what Rashi says. V'lo hifsik beged achar bein tayim. Before we sign off, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.